You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Oh shit! We're gonna go to Fuddruckers. We're gonna bring some quarters.
Fuddruckers?
Play some goddamn Rampage.
Now wait, are we playing old school Rampage, World Destruction, or World Tour?
Oh shit!
I love World Tour a lot.
I have the GameCube version that has all three on it.
Ooh.
I mean, in case you hadn't noticed, we're here to talk about Rampage.
Rampage!
Wait, that's a different thing.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say we're Sterling Archer when you need him. He would have solved. They would have straightened that out. Oh, lickety split.
And he would have shot George before the movie started.
No, he's an animal lover.
No, except he would probably shoot George. And he definitely would have shot Lizzie because he hates alligators.
It
would have happened so quick.
But he used to love alligators. Yeah, we're getting off point. I'm Matt.
I'm Harris.
I'm Mike.
I'm Elliot.
Yay! We have the crew is assembled. the weird monster movie crew, and also Harris.
Yeah, the 90s kids and the old guy.
There you go. So yeah, we're here to talk about Rampage, the, I would say, hotly anticipated Rampage, or at least people are girding their loins for it.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
I would, because that's me.
I would say, you know, anticipated where you're sort of looking at it through closed fingers. On your eyes. You're like, please
don't suck.
Okay.
Don't suck.
Okay.
This was a movie that it took me a very long time since hearing that, like, Dwayne Johnson was going to be in a movie called Rampage, and it took me a while to realize, like, wait, they mean the video game?
Is that just going to be Dwayne Johnson fighting dudes?
Yeah, it sounded like it was, like, the name Rampage just makes it sound like it's going to be, like, some normal crime drama, or, like,
so they're remaking that Uwe Boll film?
I was going to say, Uwe Boll has anything to say about it. He's the only person to ever make anything called Rampage, ever. Fuck you, Uwe Boll.
He's a terrible person.
Fucking stop breathing my air. But that's...
He beat the shit out of Low-Tax. Come on, he's done some good things in his life.
That's fair.
He made a Far Cry movie with Anthony Bourdain in it.
He did?
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah, it's in an episode of the show that he did.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing that happened.
We also have another special guest. What do you have to say, George?
Oh, God.
I'm happy to be here. Also, he's giving me the finger, so I guess. I don't know. Wait.
He's got multiple sounds.
Yeah,
apparently.
Wait. Let's see if I can get him to chomp. Nope, that's just more noises from the game. Anyway. Okay, so that's gonna go away now.
They're outside.
I bought I got all these, they got these Rampage Stretch Armstrong monsters, in addition to all the other kind of badass merchandising shit they have coming out for this movie. Like the Funko Pop figures that we're all clawing ourselves to, like, I'm clawing my eyes out.
All of us.
Yes, all of us.
Well, I know Harris and I exchanged glances when the news broke.
I'm saying this, Matt, don't buy those. They might be heading to you.
I'm not checking Walmart every 4 to 5 hours.
I'm saying you don't have to check Walmart.
Well, fine.
So Target.
Fine. Anyway, I mean, I've already...
In case anyone's...
What?
I said in case anyone's curious how Matt felt about all this.
Okay, see, now, I have to be honest, I'm... Well, okay, before I get... No, I don't. Before I get too far into our feelings on the film, let's describe the movie. So, if you remember the video game, the basic premise was that there are three monsters, they're destroying a city, they're a result of some sort of nuclear toxic waste accident.
It's science.
Yeah.
It's the ooze.
Yeah.
Right. It's a takeoff of all the, you know, you have George, Ralph, and Lizzie. You have a giant ape, a giant werewolf thing, and a giant reptile. They're totally not Godzilla, Kong, and giant werewolf.
Don't say that. We're going to get sued.
So, and the movie way expands on this concept.
Which it kind of had to, because there really isn't a plot to any of the games short of monster smash shit repeat.
Yeah, and the movie starts off by having the Rock's character, David Okoye. He is a wildlife
primatologist.
Primatologist, and he has a connection with the ape, George, mm-hmm. and he, to the point where he can sign with him, where it's almost like the ape is speaking English.
Yeah, no ape understands American Sign that well, I'm just gonna say it, but, I mean, even, what's her name, Coco?
Yeah.
She can say things, but it's kind of a, it's gibberish, you know?
This is a conversation, like a full,
yeah.
with context.
They're giving each other fist bumps, he's flipping them off.
They've got inside jokes.
It's kind of amazing, and George, because we can't just have another giant, a giant brown-furred ape running around, George, an albino gorilla, because we have to have him be visually distinct.
He's the player true color.
It is easier to see him when all the action's going down.
Right,
and you're just talking about George and, you know, that color, but the creature design, and you can speak to this more than me, but the creature design is outstanding.
Yeah, the whole impetus is that there are these three monsters that appear because there was how would you describe this? Like a corporate accident? A science corporation accident?
Anybody who's seen Life or Cloverfield, the Netflix movie, just imagine that movie took place in the Rampage universe. At the end of it, this is the beginning of the movie, the thing crashes, and these canisters of secret ooze get spilled around the world in three different distinct places for three youngsters with attitude. The monsters grow.
Why didn't they team up and become the next Avengers?
That would have been interesting.
And so, but at that point, you're sort of off and running, but then the movie stops, thankfully, to introduce a character which I feel embiggens this movie.
Embiggens?
Yes.
I like it.
That is a word.
Jeffrey
Dean Morgan.
He's so good.
He's just playing Negan without the bat.
Oh my god. He just like... Talk about Rampage. That man just puts his mouth on the nearest wall and just chomps on down.
Chewing that scenery.
That scenery
chewing
is
it.
Just gone by the time...
Bart, stop chewing on the drywall.
Literally everything about his character is designed to just be like, you know what? I'm just going to make sure I stand out as much as possible. From the oversized belt buckle insanely detailed holster for his pearl handle.
I was going to say, is that like elephant ivory on his fucking holster? What the fuck is happening?
I mean, honestly, I was surprised they let him have that prominent of a role in a movie with The Rock being the star.
Right.
Because, I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan almost upstaged the star.
Yeah, he's playing this FBI agent, which must be a Trump administration FBI agent, because I don't know how many good old boys.
Yeah, he's an OGA agent.
Yeah, other government agency.
Oh, that's right, he's not FBI. He's implies that there is a universe, this is a broader universe where there are, like, there must be monsters running around, because he's like, oh, yeah. That's a
what
thing.
What was that agency from
Godzilla?
From King Kong.
Oh, well, Godzilla and King Kong. A Monarch. So he's a Monarch agent.
Mystery Monarch.
Oh, shit. This is Warner Brothers.
You're tying this shit together already.
Oh, either that or he's part of the deep state. So I choose to say
Monarch. Wait. If this is all tied together, wouldn't that make George Son of Kong?
Oh, shit.
That would actually make a lot more sense.
Because Son of Kong was white furred in the original black and white movie. So
what does this have to do with Donkey Kong Jr., though?
That's a hard game that we don't need to talk about.
Even the math one?
I did not go to Stu's. Yeah, let's move on.
So that'll be the next.
Too much of a deep cut there.
Wait until we get a proper Donkey Kong movie, and it's like this, where it's like this plumber is trying to save his girlfriend from a rampaging ape.
Except the ape is rampaging because because the plumber owned him and mistreated him. So it's kind of like,
oh, that's right. Yeah,
the story of Donkey Kong's actually pretty fucked up.
Bring it back to the movie.
Yeah, it has a lot of head fakes. So like Joe Mangiello comes in at one point. And you think,
reason.
Yeah.
He is the human opponent to the
He's
rock,
got this badass scar on his face.
This is going to be the... Okay, and then they go, no. This is going to end badly for him.
Yeah, he plays a PMC guy that's, like, mentioned by Malin Ackerman that they bought. And you're like, oh, he's going to... Yeah, like you guys are saying.
He's going to be our recurring...
He's gonna be this, like, recurring dude who keeps coming back.
Or he's going to form an alliance with the Rock at some point. Nope!
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Becomes one of those questions of why did you even have him in this movie in the first place? Well, either because, like, Joe, I guess, had a pool to pay for and a couple of days free.
Well, here's the thing that we seem to be not talking about a lot about the movie is that this movie's actually really gory. And the beginning was terrifying.
The opening sequence is the best alien movie since Aliens.
Just it happens to be starring the rat from Graveyard Shift.
Yeah.
If Splinter had a breakdown, That's what this will be.
Yeah, and like...
Remy just got tired of cooking and decided to eat his shit raw.
You know what's funny is there's almost an...
He got the rage virus.
There's almost an... Yeah, yeah, that's what happened. There's almost an entire supporting cast at the beginning of the movie that gets forgotten about like the mid-fast.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, I was kind of...
First act.
There were characters I wished I'd seen more of, and I was hoping they were going to be part of it for a while.
Really?
But they show up, they've got... They're brilliantly and constructed. They have, like, serious personalities. They're very memorable looks, and then they're gone. And never to be seen again.
I wish I could remember what the name of the cute little blonde was, because I want to see more of her.
Brienne Hill.
Was that her?
It was Amy.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, she doesn't have an IMDb. Or maybe she does. I don't know. Anyway. But she was
in 5 minutes more compelling than Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
Shots fucking fired. Everybody is clearly playing fucking cartoon characters in this. The dialogue is very big. It's very broad. It's not stupid. It's just they're laying everything out. And there's not a lot of subtlety going on here.
Yeah, no one really... They basically said no one is coming to this movie for the plot, so we might as well not put too much effort into it.
But saying there's not a lot of nuance, there's not a lot of subtlety. There's so much over the top they find nuance and sensationalism. Because you get like this... They root you in the relationship between George and The Rock's character.
Yeah.
And so... You actually care about what's happening on screen, at least a little bit.
They actually did a pretty good job of connecting
those two.
They make
you fall in love with them pretty early on, actually.
Oh, yeah. You love how they establish that this is not a realistic ape-man relationship. It's very over the top, and it's very cartoony. But you still kind of feel for it, because they're establishing stuff, and The Rock is just so damn charming in just about everything he's in, and... Jason Lyles, I believe is how you say his last name, he plays George, and what I had heard is that they really kept his eyes.
They gave him like uncomfortably human eyes.
The CGI in this, at least for the monsters, was really, really well done.
Yeah, we were talking after the movie, and Harrison mentioned that the mechanical part wasn't that well done.
The vehicles were kind of just...
The ancillary CGI was
they may as well have been from a PS2 game.
Yeah, oh. Well, they aren't that bad.
No, it really is. Like, there's a sequence where this helicopter crash lands, and then when the fire started... I was like, oh my god, that looks really, really bad.
It's like, am I watching Hulk Ultimate Destruction?
it looked like when you turn on a fire sequence in a game that
One of those like 2D animated it's just a flat GIF of a fire overlaid on something.
Yeah, the crash of the airplane itself looks like something that would have happened in a particularly high budget episode of Toons the Driving Cat.
I was just gonna say I personally didn't think it was that bad, but maybe I was just so starry eyed with the monsters.
Well,
the monsters
are so great to look at.
Yeah,
because of that,
the monsters are great to look at, and the gore. It's not gore. It's not gory just to be gory and be sensationalist. It fits the tone. So it's like
these are
silly
violent
gore.
Monsters.
There are stakes in this
They
film.
Drive it. They drive it home very quickly that this is a terrifying situation to be in, which actually causes some problems considering that George is a monster in this, and I don't mean just by his size. He does some heinous shit.
Well, he fucks up some people.
Like he opens up a window at one point, just like not even the main part of the scene, just like a pan shot. He punches a window.
In the game.
Yeah, and then just takes the person out and eats them.
There's a lot of... I mean, I think they're trying to establish... They are trying to push the idea that this isn't really... This isn't George. George is not in control of his faculties.
Not in control of them.
Because he's been infected by this pathogen. But then, you know, they eventually kind of bring it back around to being like, he didn't ask for this. This isn't his fault.
He didn't ask for this.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of action one-liners a giant gorilla could say.
Kitten.
Kitten. Good. Good. Grab. Tickle. Good. And then we also had our bad guys. Like, we talked a little bit about Malin Ackerman and... her brother, Jake Lacey, who... What did you guys say he was from?
I'm not sure.
Hold on.
Don't think he's actually from anything. I spent the entire movie looking at him going like, Was that Foggy from Daredevil? But
I don't understand how you could have thought that. He's definitely... Okay, so he's been in a couple of things. He looks like he was... He's from the ninth and final season of The Office. Okay, who gives a shit?
He has good comic timing, because, like...
He's funny.
Yeah, Madeline Ackerman's character is played just so straight evil.
She's so evil.
But he's sort of the...
Yeah, that was some Enron shit. Right? Yeah.
Like, he's not quite a dumb henchman, but he's right on that borderline of being dumb, to where she could play off of him and just insult him and get a good laugh. But it just... The movie... Once it really gets going, like it does lull for about 20 minutes after they set up the emotional hook before the action really, really starts.
Yeah.
But once it starts hitting, you're just going to be, this is going to be such a cliche, you're going to be on the edge of your seat until the end of the movie.
I was definitely feeling the adrenaline for a lot of this film. I was really, just being a monster junkie that I am. And that's the thing. I just have to point out that, holy shit, I am so happy that monster movies are back, because there's just a period of time between, 2004 and Pacific Rim 2012, where, like, no monsters weren't really around. I mean, you get maybe a Cloverfield here or something else there, but, and then, of course, I know people are going to be like, but what about Sharktopus and Crocofuck and Ballsackamadon? And I'm like, those aren't even, they're not even movies.
Well, yeah, so, honestly, watching this movie, I finally, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt like I finally understood your viewpoint.
Oh, yeah?
Because I, like, watching the exquisite character design on some of these monsters, like that freaking... crocodile.
Yeah.
That looks like a crocodile warthog almost.
It's like a crocodile warthog Angarius. Fish. And what?
An Angarius.
Angarius, yeah.
It's like they watched Crocodile Hunter and then watched Princess Mononoke and said, I think I can put Nago into this.
Yeah.
And be good.
And well, just, it actually, sorry.
Just so terrifying. Honestly, this is probably the best monster design I personally have seen in a movie. In terms of that crocodile alone, like, I feel like it was
strong
better than
words.
Pacific Rim. I feel like it was much better than Cloverfield. Mm. It's like, I just hate that.
Well, Lizzie and Ralph were just so much more memorable than anything that was in Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying is that they put a lot of work into these character designs,
and
it easily could have just been giant crocodile. Yeah, giant wolf.
It could have been really lazy, but the little details, like when the crocodile at one point comes up out of the river. And it has these really huge red spikes, but they're sort of sloped.
Yeah.
That people can fall in between.
There were people falling on its back.
Like a Plinko game on Price is Right.
Yeah.
That was fun with ragdoll physics in some of those.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't fuck around with deaths, by the way.
Yeah, no, there is no question. People die, and people die fucking horribly.
There's none of this. We evacuated the entire city. No. Motherfuckers die.
Now, and that's a thing that I also, like, have to point out, is that this is what you do when you have a film that's very streamlined. It's focused on, there are three monsters. This is the situation. We're everything is centered around this one battle, as opposed to something like Uprising, where it's a bunch of shit happening, or Ready Player One, where it's a bunch of shit happening. It's throwing everything at you all the time, and you're just like, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's like this is about this fight to retake this city.
Yeah, it's a well choreographed, well thought out fight, and like there are parts that definitely reminded me of Transformers 3 because it's set in Chicago.
Right.
But it's easier to understand and get the effect of what's going on, because like Lizzie the crocodile at one point burrows into the side of the Sears Tower and then comes out the other side and goes up. Whereas there was a similar shot in Transformers 3, but it was done, they were trying to at that point ape Inception because that had just come out, and it wasn't done as well. And it's like, this is how you should have done it.
Yeah,
and I feel like Michael Bay needs to watch this.
Yeah, one of the things that was critical about this is that for as action-packed and as chaotic as this movie is, there are very rare moments where you can't tell exactly what's happening and who's doing what and where everybody is.
Go ahead.
And just every once in a while, there's a little, like, time and space fuck-up, like watching The Rock, coming Hey Kool-Aid through a wall that wasn't set up in the scene immediately before it.
I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan, no instant transmission or something, because they're just popping up.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had this power to, like...
Oh, yeah, he had the Voorhees reality engine.
He could just pop pop in wherever the plot convenience needed him to be. But
it's like, here's some shit. Pop, and then he's gone.
Well, but no, here's the thing. I'm thinking this is the Matrix because literally every time that he did that, it was right after he got on the phone going, "Hey, I need a ride."
Well, like, in terms of, you know, in terms of knowing what's going on, one thing I really liked, and I just realized when Harris was talking about it, they have like this key shot. Every like almost every about 30 seconds, there was a key shot of, here's where the monsters are now. Now we're going to go back to the in close action, and then they would pull back and then be like, right, okay, now they're at this part of the building and they're here. And
yeah.
So you had some context all the time.
We have to keep establishing. It's just a basic rule of visual storytelling. You have to establish where your characters are in space. It's the same similar principle in comic books. So you have to establish your shot, then you can zoom in, but it's just going to change. You have to zoom back out again to establish where everybody is in relation to each other. Then you can go back in again.
And part of what really helps with this is all the characters have a very distinct silhouette. So even if it's like the camera is shaking and spinning around really quickly, you can tell exactly who is doing what and where. And it does help that George is, you know, white and that the wolf has got all these weird spines on it for no reason.
Yeah.
Because
porcupine DNA.
Because
spines, titmouse.
Reasons.
Because it...
that we're here.
Yeah, it really makes it easier to tell who is doing what to where, as opposed to, say, Transformers, where it looks like someone just threw a couple of bags of trash down the stairs.
I want to just say one thing, one really little small thing before we move on. But you said Transformers and Transform, like this is just hit my head. The Naomi Harris is the main female lead.
Yeah.
And just for me, one thing I really liked is something you rarely see, especially with The Rock or Will Smith or any black actor, is a black. I mean, he's black in Samoan, but a black leading lady to oppose them, because usually they think it's not going to sell. And I just really appreciate it. I'm like, oh, you got a black actress as the lead. This is great. And I just wanted to say that and then move on.
It was a very racially integrated movie. And not in like the kind of obnoxious way
it
that Pacific Rim Uprising was.
Yeah.
Or Planeteers. It was like, this is the melting pot of America.
Yeah,
and there's a bunch of, like every other character is a different race. And they're just in the action, just doing their jobs.
He's also well developed as a character. Even if it's like, even if some of the backstory is kind of just thrown at you right away.
For Naomi Harris.
Yeah. It works though. Cause it's one of those things where it's like, I'm okay with you just sort of recapping.
Yeah, it's one of those cases of like, you know, where the character sheets just says, you know, abilities slot in as needed.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden when they need to get to another city, The Rock says, "Oh yeah, no, I can totally fly a helicopter."
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean,
you're completely right.
Yeah,
they kept
rolling
for initiative at the beginning, kept fucking up.
They were just trying to establish why a primatologist would be that big and that the ability and have the ability to be shot and keep going.
Yeah. Or the ability to choke, to like beat up and choke out a couple of MPs.
Yeah. And I mean, which is to be fair, more than we ever got for Schwarzenegger. Cause you think about how many movies he played where he's just this absurdly large Austrian guy.
Yeah. I'm a scientist.
Logical all the way.
Well, if they had made this in the 90s, this would have been a Schwarzenegger vehicle.
Oh, sure.
Because this is
totally
exactly what they would. This is exactly what they do. It's like, it is literally like, all right, why can he beat the shit out of everybody and do whatever skills we need? Oh, he SEAL Team 6.
Right, or
Commando.
But here's the thing. That is fine for this movie because the tone is established pretty early that this is a silly movie.
Sure.
But it's not silly to the point where it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It gives you just enough to hold on to that you can laugh with it and you don't feel like you're being insulted by watching it. It's like there are times where people go, oh, you turn your brain off. I feel insulted because I'm like, look, you are making entertainment. Even if you want to make something silly, it has to make just an iota. Something for me to be like, okay, this is your world, bullet shots, just miss vital organs.
Sure.
But you're gonna hang a lampshade on it and tell me that so I can go with you, so that I'm not sitting there with like, he got shot in the stomach. He should be, oh, it missed a vital, and Mark goes, oh, it missed a vital organs. It's like, okay, you know, I know. Big monsters.
We're moving on.
I flashed back to Dragon Ball when he said it missed all the vital organs, and I just pictured Piccolo just going, all of them? All of them? But I think one of the reasons it works for The Rock and some of that is because all three of these characters that we mentioned, you know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Naomi Harris, and The Rock, is that all of them have a small story arc throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like he has a story arc where he doesn't really trust people all that much at the at the beginning.
Holy shit, you're right.
There. And she has her story arc.
My God, it's like it's a movie. Maybe no, I somebody confident.
But here's the thing, it was so silly, I didn't... It that story arc snuck past me.
Yeah, exactly. And she has her story arc because, you know, she's trying to basically...
redemption from her brother.
Yeah, redemption, that. Everything that, she, you know, she failed at something. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the fact that he's, you know, learning to trust these two people
to not be
to not
dick.
Fuck up his day, basically.
I don't think he had an arc. I think he was just there to just kind of like, hi.
Well, he,
did I mention I'm Texan? Well, he's not totally Texan.
He's a very, it's
well,
very
clear.
He could
have just been a dick the entire time, but he has these
he's
great character moments.
He could have easily been the Joe Manganiello character. I don't know how to...
It feels like in a prior script they maybe were one character.
Like the same guy. And he could have easily been this villainous character, but even though he's this kind of swaggering douchebag at the beginning, he does, like, you know, he turns to The Rock and he says, hey, for what it's worth, I'm sorry. Like, I am a human being, and I know this probably sucks. But... I mean, I feel like we could go on and on and on about this.
We can explain every biological phenomenon.
Yes.
but one last thing. I think there actually is, if they're smart, there is a good shot. If this movie is successful, mm-hmm. since they leave it pretty open-ended what agency Jeffrey Dean Morgan works for, just make him a part of Monarch.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be totally down with that. Let's do a soft X-Men reboot sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Where, yes, make him part of the Monarch!
Yeah, let's be like... Yeah, this is what the Monarch turned into. Like, the chrysalis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he did the vigil.
Yeah, no, no, so I'm just thinking about, I laugh at regular jokes like this. yeah.
Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode!
Come on, he's from Depeche Mode!
What's behind this door? Is it safety? Or is it the ape from Basement Jax?
I believe we've alienated everybody.
I've been watching a bunch of Venture Brothers recently so I can get caught up. But anyway, so I'm feeling that. But I mean, has anybody else got any big salient points they want to make?
I'll save mine for final thoughts.
We can go to final thoughts at that point.
Okay. I did want to point out, because I was talking to a buddy of mine on the way over here, hands-free, and he went to the premiere, and he was part of the Q&A. The Rock was there. The cast was there. And they were answering questions and stuff. And apparently, the red dress that Ackerman was wearing at the end... is specifically a reference to the game because the women that you can reach
dress.
In and eat
yeah.
are wearing red dresses and in the promotional stuff too. So I don't know. It's some people were kind of grumbling about how this movie isn't like the game. And glares at Harris.
Look, they don't turn into little naked people at the end that the other ones pick up and eat.
See, as hilarious as that would be. It's not the movie we got.
That is my only gripe with it, to be honest.
I think you could in some way maybe make a movie like that.
Yeah, Ralph
but...
was a mutated hot dog vendor.
Make a sequel to do it. That would work.
Sure. Make some human mutations.
Nah, media can grow as it changes from format.
So you're saying make an Altered Beast movie instead. I'm
oh,
okay with
fuck
that.
Yes.
Rise from your grave. As long as we don't get a Clay Fighter movie, we're fine.
Oh, fuck, man. I just
want to make Boogerman before
look,
they do
I'm
that.
Sorry. Do you need some stitches for that deep fucking cut?
I want a Primal Rage movie. Where's my Primal Rage movie?
That's what I meant to
I feel like this was... What was kind of a more Primal Rage than it was.
Sure.
I think about it.
Clay Fighter? no, yeah.
Clay Fighter, Clay
yeah,
Fighter.
But there were a lot of little... I mean, they had a fucking rampage machine in the bad guy's office.
That was pretty random.
But that was one of the things I liked was that...
That was the moment of just kind of like, is this why they fucking called it Project Rampage?
But that was just a coincidence.
Goddamn
I actually think that there was a... Again, what did you say, Elliot? You said subtlety in...
It's subtly in the silliness.
Subtlety in the silliness. Yeah. Is that
they sort of wink at the audience and go, "Look, we know."
But even then, it's like the character, Jake Lacy's character, Brett Wenden. He's clearly a man child because his office is filled with toys, and they've got several arcade cabinets back there. So it stands to reason that they called it Project Rampage because he was like, "I like this game." And we're making monsters. Let's call it Rampage.
That may have been where the idea came from. He could have just been high one day, and his sister is like just like babysitting him, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, man, you know, your company should like make monsters, and she's like, shut the fuck. Wait a second.
Hold on.
He's like, I know somebody who's working on something that we can totally do that with.
And that's one of the things about how this film really embraces the silliness, and it doesn't, like you guys said, it doesn't insult the audience. Like, I think about big, dumb monster movies, or dumb movies in general, but I'm thinking about dumb monster movies like Godzilla 98, and how I feel like that movie is insulting its audience several times
in the
film.
But then on the other spectrum, you have movies that take it, to me, a little too serious. Like the Godzilla that just came out on
the 2014 Godzilla, or the Planet of the Monsters Godzilla,
the
anime.
Yeah. Because like that one is so dour and so serious. This one just goes, look, we're just going to have some fun, but we're going to give you some sense too.
Well, that's what I always appreciate about monster movies, is that you can kind of have your flavor however you want. Monsters are more or less a stand-in for whatever you need.
Yeah, didn't they grow out of World War II and Godzilla and all?
Well, yeah, back into the origin of human mythology. We'll talk about stuff like that in the Gigantic Cast, but that is a good point, is that you can have monsters that represent war, you can have monsters that represent human hubris, you can have animal experiment Facebook. Where's our Facebook kaiju movie?
It doesn't destroy anything. It just opens all your curtains.
Oh, shit. It closed all my tabs!
What are we talking about? Like ceiling Godzilla's watching you masturbate.
Fuck.
We technically have a Facebook kaiju movie. It's that South Park episode with the giant stand that they play Yahtzee.
Oh, God. I guess. Anyway.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I guess, I'll tell you what. Elliot, this is the first time I've been on mic with you in a while where you've enjoyed a film.
I'm very happy about that.
Go ahead, please kick us off.
I am. This movie is, and just because of the progression of spring movies that I've seen so far since the Black Panther, which was really positive, this is a breath of fresh air for me. It's a very, you know, it's just a well put together movie in that it just, I don't like saying it knew what it wanted to be, but it had good design.
Mm-hmm.
It knew what it wanted to be.
Yes.
That's the cliche.
Yeah.
But it had an aim, and it achieved that aim. And it shot for a mark that it knew it could reach. And it did it really well. And my expectation was so low. Like, honestly, when I first saw the trailer, it looked like an SNL parody trailer.
Oh, I like that.
But I was like, you know what? But coming into it, just it was so much better than I thought it was going to be. It's really enjoyable. Great creature design. And this is a movie that if you go see it, like, if you have a Sunday afternoon to kill, go see it. I mean, it's not something to rush out and see. This is a perfect...
See it in a theater.
Though. Yeah, no, definitely see it in a theater, but this is a perfect... Like, I love going to movies on, like, Wednesday night randomly by myself.
Nice.
This is a great movie for that. Like, you can just sort of just take something and it's going to clear... Like, say you're working a lot, it's going to clear your brain out. This is that. So I give it an 8 exquisitely designed monsters out of 10.
Very nice.
As like, there's one thing that we didn't really super bring up is that this is the most fun I've had in a video game movie in a very, very, very long time.
Thank you. Yes.
The thing is that like video game movies have been known for being pretty shitty.
What are you saying that Postal wasn't a masterpiece?
Blood Rain is the greatest movie ever. No.
Ugh.
Funny story about Blood Rain. There was a documentary about scriptwriters on like Netflix a long time ago, and they had the Blood Rain scriptwriter. And Ubo just kept, like, rejecting her scripts, so she wrote, like, the dumbest thing she could think of. It's like, yeah, well, we'll do this one. And she's like, wait, what?
Oh, no!
And she said she went to the premiere, and she's like, oh my god, they really did use it.
Which movie was this again?
Blood Rain.
Oh, no!
The one where the title cut out her boobs.
It was really bad.
With the O's.
The fact that the writer had said that, I'm like, oh, it makes a lot of sense.
I was like, that is...
So the thing about, like, yeah... Video game movies are usually pretty bad, and that's one of the reasons why I had such low expectations the same way as Elliot did. Like, one of my favorite video game movies, as I've mentioned before on another podcast, is the Ace Attorney film made by Takashi Miike, but it's a Japanese film.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And so
that sounds fantastic. An Ace Attorney film? I didn't even know that existed.
I love that
film. I got to watch the shit out of it.
The thing I love is that it's an Ace Attorney film by Takashi Miike, which means that somebody got the Glasgow smile before.
You know, say, is this the guy that did Audition?
To be fair, Takashi Miike...
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure movie, actually, recently.
As a quick interjection, Takashi Miike directs a lot of stuff. He directed a bunch of really goofy Ultraman episodes.
Yeah, he's that motherfucker just would direct anything he likes. But, So, yeah, that's one of my favorite, you know, video game movies, but it's one of those things that I can't really recommend too easily because it's hard as shit to find. But when it comes to American video game films, most of them are pretty bad. You know, you got your Street Fighters,
You got your Blood Rains, Far Cry.
You like Legend of Chun-Li?
I worked at a theater when that came out.
Oh,
I was
boy.
Taking tickets, and the guy was like, there's a game? I'm like, oh my God.
Ah!
I was like, are you shitting me?
Ah! I'm just going to yell into the microphone.
Did this guy crawl out from under a rock? Was he in a bomb shelter from the 80s until just that day?
Was he from Blast from the Past?
I mean,
was it Brendan Fraser?
It was him and his girlfriend, and they were like, I have no idea. I'm like, it's in the lobby right over there. You want to play it.
Only way that would be better is if he then said the line from the Street Fighter How Did This Get Made podcast, where one of the hosts says, so what is a Street Fighter?
I kind of wish he said that.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, this movie is, oh my God, this movie is so much fucking fun. Like I mentioned earlier, there's actual character arcs for most of the main characters, even George himself. There's, you know, every character design is actually really well thought out, other than giant wolf, giant crocodile, and giant ape. Like, everything works because of the fact that there's stakes, because it's so... The gore really does make you afraid for these characters, because you realize that, yeah, there's death in this movie. It's not like, watching, you know, some of the other Godzilla films where it's like, oh, and everybody was gone, or Power Rangers.
Everybody,
where everybody
one
was gone.
Perfunctory evacuation scene.
Exactly.
And then,
like,
yeah.
Shit happens. People die, and it's fucking cool.
It's not like Pacific Rim Uprising, where I guess we're just gonna use buildings as weapons now.
Exactly. And it's so much fun. Like,
I think I just gave Elliot PTSD.
Like, if I had to rate this with every American video game film, I would be hard-pressed to not really I really like this almost more than Mortal Kombat.
Wow.
Heresy!
Because Mortal Kombat is dumb as hell.
It's Harris declaring heresy.
The same way, but there's, at the end of the day, not every character in that movie is used correctly, but every character in this movie, I felt, was used correctly. And I
yeah,
think
but
that's
the
what makes
soundtrack
it
for Mortal Kombat was so much better.
It's so 90s, though. But then
so
again,
this one ends with Rat in the Cage.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, I don't really have a leg to stand on that one. But I would have to give it 8.5 out of 10 times Jeffrey Dean Morgan ate an entire scene.
Excellent.
I did not like this as much as everybody else.
Oh.
Now, I will say, this had great visuals, and like I said, it was well shot, it was well choreographed, I could tell everything that was going on, which is really fucking rare in an action movie these days.
Sure.
And I definitely appreciated the fact that this is a movie that just said, you know what, we are going to fuck things up, and we're not going to pretend that it was quick and clean and painless. This is a movie where you will understand that when things die, this is a horrible thing to happen, whether it is humans or other stuff. But there are just some things that I could not turn my brain off enough, and that it didn't, and this is a problem with the movie, because it could not sell me enough on this universe to make me want to turn my brain off enough to go, okay, I don't care. Like the fact that Malin Ackerman's character, Claire Wyden, has the worst fucking plan.
Well, yeah, I kept thinking, I turned to you in the theater, and I was like, that's a horrible plan!
You're just incriminating yourself the entire time.
Yeah, I mean,
there are the monsters in this city.
Sure, fine.
Like, we'll start with the fact that they might as well have just called this Project Evil the Eviling. And because it's like, because it's the same, they're working from the same fucking logic as the InGen does in Jurassic World of,
oh yeah,
there is literally
an immortal super monster.
There is literally nothing about what they're doing that couldn't be done cheaper and more efficiently with just basic soldiers. So that alone makes me go like, oh, for fucking really? But no, their plan is to, all right, we're going to draw the monsters over to a major population hub in America, and then the military will kill it for us, and we'll just sneak in and take our information back.
I guess she just didn't give a shit about the casualty, the body count. She was just like, well, then again, they were kind of...
She's mega evil, so it made sense.
She was also kind of like, we can... They definitely were like, we can do whatever we want, because we're rich.
Yeah, that's the thing. So. Like, we're rich, so we don't have to do anything, except, you know, including apparently make money, because there was no way in hell that they weren't going to jail after this if they weren't just straight-up shot. And then there were other things that happened, like the wolf suddenly can fly for no particular reason, or that it's...
It was the titmouse DNA!
And it can throw... Or it can grow... Not only did it grow spikes, but it can fling them, which it does exactly...
saying Titmouse DNA. Harris, you gotta watch the movie.
It does, cool, though. Well, it does it exactly once in the movie, and it never comes up again. They at least give the middle finger joke the rule of three.
I forgot they did that.
So at least in this case, like, that, they saged that one. You could understand where it's gonna come again, whereas this is like, alright, for one scene, we're gonna do this because the script needs it, and we're never gonna do it again, and you know what? I don't care if you're doing impossible things. I don't care about the inverse square cube law that says they couldn't physically get that big because they'd collapse under their own weight. I am willing to accept that because it plays by its own rules. But when it does shit like the like characters suddenly get abilities as the script requires, whether it is Dwayne Johnson or whether it's, you know, Basement Jack cover model, then that is the point where I'm just like, oh, come on. This is the sort of thing that I did in my, like, little stories I wrote when I was 11 years old and didn't understand character development.
Yeah, when it came to, we didn't mention the DNA thing, because there's a part where she starts, like, listing off a series of DNAs.
I love the fact that apparently
had
it's like a Wikipedia article. Yeah, I like the fact they had a Wikipedia article that just coincidentally had all of the things they put
speed
into this
of a
DNA.
Cheetah.
It's like, yeah, speed of a
strength
cheetah.
Of a bear.
The speed of a puma.
The speed of the puma.
When the gorilla yells out,
hot wolf and bear.
It's like paint with all the colors of the wind. I don't
know. Yeah.
Brave star.
Like, every monster was Shazam, apparently. But yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so like I said, as long as a movie, if it sets up its own rules and plays by them consistently, then I will be fine with it and I will check out and not question these things. As opposed to this, which not only, like, this is deliberately bringing up 9/11 references, which again makes this kind of uncomfortable and also makes me go like, all right, one building came down, well, two buildings came down in New York and it nearly fucked the American economy. This is three monsters that took out all of Chicago. We are never coming back from this. So, but that, like I said, the rest of it is extremely well done. The script, they didn't put too much money in. I'm okay with that. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's charm alone makes up for so much more. Nice. So I would have to give this 7 out of 10 reboots of video game franchises.
See, I thought you were going lower with that, given your gripes. But, yeah, you know.
No, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. I had a lot of fun with this. This was the most fun I had in a theater since sitting next to Bo in Kong Skull Island and us laughing our asses off at the indulgence of it all. And that's the thing. Like, and I said this before, but it bears repeating. I am just so happy that monster movies are back. It's a super rich genre that I don't think gets credit for being as rich and full of possibility as it has. So if, for example, if you have a monster movie that you think is too serious, like Planet of the Monsters or whatever, or is disappointing, like Pacific Rim Uprising, you have your druthers. You have other options to go with if you want something that's silly. And this is very silly. The thing about a lot of films, especially films like this, films that require a lot of suspension of disbelief, is there's a certain threshold, I think, of visceral reactions and not necessarily emotionality, but eliciting some kind of reaction that makes you overlook some of the weaker elements of the script or whatever, and ultimately have fun, you know, so long as it's not insulting you or just outright terrible and stupid, like a Transformers movie. And that, to me, was really kind of my experience here. I was very charmed by it. I can't wait to go see it again. I'm probably going to go see it this weekend again. I'm actually going to go do a little Rampage event in San Antonio at City Based Cinema. So it's going to be a grand old time. It's going to be fun. And, there's not much more I can say other than that hasn't already been said. Monsters were great. That was the other thing I was going to say. This is a monster movie. And that actually does mean something because, you know, sometimes people will throw something in front of me and be like, this has giant things in it. And it's like, yeah, but I don't give a shit. Like, there are certain elements that make a monster movie a monster movie. And this had all those elements. It has monsters that are doing stuff. They have, like, abilities. There's kind of this man's hubris going into it. There's evil organizations and companies. And there's this badass, charming hero who... Man, here's the thing, though. if Jason Statham's going to have to work overtime in Meg in order to carry that film half as much as Rock carries this with the amount of charm he's got. I mean, like, that's just the first thing that jumped to my mind. But anyway, really enjoyed it. I'm going to give this, I am probably also going to give this 8 out of 10 people that you reach inside of a building and then eat them to get your health back. So George, what did you think of the movie? Okay, George died.